Blog Talk Radio.
Into the rubble, bubbling. We don't need no more trouble. Double telescope vision, hot, hot vision. Like I'm running the mock up on a rhythm. Stay on the band so you don't lose the vision. Same season, Peter Pan from my pants. Just like yourself from the silly feeling it. You're breathing it. You put on your glasses and you'll see through it.
Fear nobody but his majesty. My spirit, you be deep. For you, I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me. Fear nobody but his majesty.
Like a rat on a wheel, try to find a new deal. Who is there? Take it for a meal. This world is real on the heels of a final generation. Into the rubble, bubbling. We don't need no more trouble. Double telescope vision, hot, hot vision. Like I'm running the mock up on a rhythm. Stay on the band so you don't lose the vision. Same season, Peter Pan from my pants. Just like yourself from the silly feeling it. You're breathing it. You put on your glasses and you'll see through it.
Fear nobody but his majesty. My spirit, you be deep. For you, I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me. Fear nobody but his majesty.
Like a rat on a wheel, try to find a new deal. Who is there? Take it for a meal. This world is real on the heels of a final generation.
I remember that day in November, standing on the roof and I'm feeling so tender. All shook up like I've been in the blender. Fend off the demons in the park after dark. Send me your hand, I want to be a member. Spend too much and now I'm rendered dead. Mend these wounds, we got to find a common thread. Want to fly in the sky, but you're heavy like
dead. Fear nobody but his majesty. My spirit, for you, I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me. Fear nobody but his majesty. My spirit, you be deep. For you, I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me.
Just a tool in the hands of the builder. Fill them with the strength to go further. Dig in deep for eternal treasure. Stay away from quicksand and false pleasure. They mouth speak with arrogance. Appearance like a lion lurking in the mist.
Plundered me from my mortal enemies.
Good evening, Israel, family, and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yaral of Beth Yahweh. And as always, before the lesson, I suggest that everyone grab your concordance, your notepads, Bible dictionaries, pens, pencil, and all those things that you need to take notes and study. I'm going to start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your kindness, your mercy that you have bestowed upon humanity. We thank you, Father, for choosing us, Israel, to be your servants. We thank thee for your kindness. We thank thee ultimately for thy son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, with loving favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. And once again, this is Yaral of Beth Yahweh Camp, from Beth Yahweh. And we have been talking about the full armor of Yah. And we started last week in Ephesians 6:10-17. And I'm going to start off this session again with verses 10 to 17. And it reads, "For the rest, my brothers, be strong in the Master and in the mightiness of his strength. Put on the complete armor of Elohim for you to have power to stand against the schemes of the devil. Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against authorities, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual matters of wickedness in the heavens. Because of this, take up the complete armor of Elohim, so that you may have power to withstand in the wicked day, and have doing all to stand." Verse 14, "Stand then, having girded your waist with the truth." We talked about that last week. And this week, we're going to talk about the second clause in verse 14. "And having put on the breastplate of righteousness." I'm going to stop there. But one thing I didn't do last week, and I'm going to do it this week, is define armor. Because many times, we as believers, we don't realize that we have to put in work to protect ourselves. Sometimes we believe that just having faith and understanding of the word is all we need. But we have to also protect ourselves. I'm one of those boxing fans. I'm going to throw this out there. And one of the things that they say in boxing is protect yourself at all times. Protect yourself at all times. And as a believer, and after reading this scripture, that is something that we're supposed to do. Protect ourselves at all times. And throughout the scriptures, the Most High has been showing us different times where Israel has been battling, and, you know, both mental, spiritual, and physical. And each time he shows us that we can get through these things with faith in him. We can get through these things. But one of the things in reading this, you know, these scriptures right now, is that we have to do something. Like last week, we have to stand. What are we standing in? We're standing in the truth. Now we're going to be putting on something. We're going to be putting on the breastplate of righteousness. But overall, we're putting this armor on. So I looked the word armor up. I should have said it last week, but I guess my mind was going somewhere else. She would have brought it in this week, armor. And I looked this up in the etymology dictionary. And it reads, defensive covering worn in combat also generally means a means of protection. So when we read that, put on the breastplate or put on the whole armor, we're putting on something that is going to protect us in a battle. Sometimes we as believers, we go out there and we act like we're not in a battle. And then when we fall short, and we're like, oh, man, I could have did this. I should have did that. Oh, I shouldn't have fell in that. I shouldn't have fell down that hole. I shouldn't have been in this situation. But you was in that situation because you lost focus. And one of the things that just recently came to my mind, right before the show came on, I was thinking about Peter. And when the Messiah called him to him, he told him to come to him. And he started walking toward him. And then he got caught up in things that was going on around him. He took his eyes off the Messiah. And ultimately, he started going down. And then he got afraid. But he didn't put his eyes back on the Messiah. He called out for the Messiah to help him. The Messiah helped. It came to my mind in regards to putting on the whole armor. See, we get caught up in distractions sometimes, Israel. And then those distractions be the things that we need to be protecting ourselves from. But because the distractions are something that appeals to us, we think that it's okay before, and then we turn around and then we're too late. And as we go through the scriptures many times, we see how Israel got caught up in stuff that was outside of Yah, outside of the word, outside of the prophets. And then eventually they cry out to the Most High, and he assists them. Why? Because we're his children. Even into this day, we're his children, Israel. He made a covenant with us. Well, he made a covenant with our forefather, and we get the benefits of it. But we also have to do something, because as we read last week, and we're dealing with Abraham did something. He did something. And so another definition for the word armor, this comes from the Webster's Dictionary, same basic meaning, defensive covering for the body. So one of the things I'm going to do, I'm going to go with my first scripture I'm going to start with tonight. And it's just, I'm just going to be reiterating some things from last week before I get into today's lesson. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. And it reads, now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet. And he will pray for you, and you will live. If you do not restore her, know for sure that you will die, you and all of yours. So this scripture comes from a situation where Abraham was traveling into a land, and the king was known for taking men's wives. So he goes down there, and him and his wife discuss, and he told this particular, you know, when he went into this land, he said that his wife was his sister. And, you know, the Most High came to this particular king and said, hey, look, you know, you're not laid with this man's wife, blah, 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 you know, not blah, 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 blah. You know, he said, do not lay with this man's wife or this man's prophet. And, you know, the king was like, well, he told me that was his sister. But Most High was letting him know, no, it's not his sister, it's his wife. You need to restore her. But this, you know, bring turn prophet up because Abraham was a prophet. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 33. Verse 11, and it reads, Yahweh spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. He turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart out of the tent. As we know, Abraham was a friend of Yah. And this is talking about how Moses spoke. How Yahweh spoke to Moses face to face as he speaks with a friend. So it's letting you know that Moses had a relationship with the Most High. And from here, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. And it reads, Yahweh said to Moses, behold, I have made you Elohim to Pharaoh, and Aharon, your brother, shall be your prophet. So, right here, we're getting to a situation where, as you know, if you're familiar with the story, Moses didn't want to speak because he said he had had problems speaking. So the Most High said, okay, you tell Aaron, you tell the people. So Aaron became Moshe's spokesperson. So from here, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 20. Verse 18 to 20. And it reads, all the people perceived the thundering and the lightning, the sound of the trumpets, and the mountains smoking. When the people saw it, they trembled, and they stayed at a distance. They said to Moses, speak with us yourself, and we will listen. But do not let Yahweh speak with us, lest we die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, for Yahweh has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, that you would not sin. So this situation is where Most High actually was speaking to Moses in the presence of the people, and the people was like, no, we don't want to hear the Most High. You know, we'd rather hear you, Moses. So this is just a, you know, as we would say in military terms, it's like a chain of command is being established right here in regards to how information is disseminated from the Most High, or as we talked last week, his truth, how it's being disseminated to mankind or to humanity. So now I'm going to go to John chapter 11, and I'm going to read verses 39 to 42. And it reads, Yahushua said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Adonai, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Yahushua said to her, did not I tell you that if you believe, you will see Yah's glory? So they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Yahushua lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me. But because of the multitude that stands around, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. So this is the Messiah talking to Martha, or testing, you know, showing the testimony how the Most High sent him. Now the Most High uses him. The faith and the understanding that Yahushua said to his father was like, you know I have a relationship with you. Just like when we talked earlier about Moses. He had a relationship with Yahweh. Abraham had a relationship with Yahweh. So these are just talking about different relationships that were established so that humanity can know the truth of Yah. And this is one of the things that we are putting on, which is going to help protect us from the adversary. So we're going to go to John chapter 10, verses 24 to 30. And it reads, "The Jews therefore came around him and said to him, How long will you hold us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Yahushua answered them, I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify about me. But you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. As I told you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give eternal life to them. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So from here, I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. But I'm going to read the second clause. And it reads, "Believe in Yahweh your Elohim, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so you shall prosper." Now, from here, I look the word prophet up. And the word prophet is in your Hebrew concordance, 50-30, and it means Nabi. And the word is Nabi. And it's a spokesman, a speaker, a prophet. An inspired man. So when we come across prophets and inspired men that the Most High have put in front of us to teach us his word, to give us understanding about his word, we have to adhere to it if we believe, if we have been chosen. See, because many people claim that they are believers. But when you start talking that word, you start talking the truth of Yah, then all of a sudden they flee. Why? Because light and darkness cannot dwell in the same place. And people who are not following the word, following after Yah, who is Son Yahushua, they're going to flee. Because they don't want to be found out. So now, we're going to get into the lesson. Because one of the things that, you know, I was thinking about throughout the course of the week is that we as believers and we as those who, you know, hunger for his truth and have a thirst for his truth, we have to stay in his word. We have to clothe ourselves in his word. We have to cleanse ourselves with his word. As we know in the scriptures, we're like a filthy rag. And the only way that we can truly clean ourselves up is having faith in Yahushua and keeping the law, statutes, and judgments, because they are the things that clean us up. They are the things that help us to overcome the obstacles that we're faced with. So I labeled last week, you know, I didn't say it last week, but I labeled it this week in regards to that belt. That belt is that foundation of that armor. And this part we're getting ready to get into is the breastplate of righteousness. And I labeled this one, this is the behavior of the armor. So I'm going to start back with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. And I'm going to read, and it reads, standing therefore, having a utility belt of truth buckled around your waist, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So I'm going to stop here at breastplate, because that is our topic. That's what we're putting on. And that's in your Hebrew part of your concordance, 2382. And it's, I apologize. That's not the Hebrew. That's your Greek lexicon, because Ephesians is part of the New Testament. So it would be in your Greek lexicon. And it's 2382. And it's thorax. And it's a definition, breastplate, corset. Properly a breastplate, coat of mail, which protects the chest and extends down to the hips. Figuratively, which protects the heart. So when we look at that, then they also have a definition for 2382, protects the heart and its emotions, the desires, as well as our decisions. So when we take this breastplate of righteousness, these are the things that it's going to really affect. Because when we're looking at the scriptures, we have to look at it from a physical perspective. So the breastplate will, if you're in battle and you put this on, it will protect your torso area down to your waist, protecting your vital organs, because majority, all your vital organs are in your torso area. And then spiritually, it would deal with, you know, things from that perspective, your emotions, you know, because you want to, you know, protect you, you know, maintain levels of self-control, which comes with, you know, as they say, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, so you want to be able to protect your self-control, protect your emotions. I also looked the word up in, you know, breastplate up in the dictionary, and there's a breastplate or chest plate. As a device worn over the torso to protect it from injury, as an item of religious significance, or as an item of status. So when I read that, first thing came to my mind was the priest garment, because the priest garment was a thing that the high priest wore, and the breastplate that he wore had 12 stones in it, and these 12 stones had one of the names of Israel on it. I'm also reading another definition that I got, and it's for breastplate, and it actually has this in the definition. It says, usually a metal plate worn to, as a defensive armor for the breast. A vestment worn in ancient times by the high priest and set with 12 stones bearing the names of the tribes of Israel. So from here, we're going to go to First Thessalonians. And it says, but let us, since we belong to the day and sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. Later, we'll be dealing with salvation. But now, you know, right now we're dealing with the breastplate. And then from there, I went to Revelations 21:18-20. And this is building off of the fact of the high priest wearing the breastplate and having the 12 stones. And it says, the construction of it, of its wall, was jasper. The city was pure gold, like pure glass. The foundation of the city's walls were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, cloud stone, the fourth, emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprasus, the 11th, jonathan, and the 12th, amethyst. Then it says, when I started looking at those different stones that was put in there, it says the cardinal stones are gemstones, which are traditionally been considered precious stone, precious about all others. The classification of cardinal gems date back to the antiquities and was largely determined by ceremonial or religious use and rarity. The term was largely fallen out of use. The five traditional cardinal gems are amethyst, which is purple, considered rare and precious in the old world, until largely deposits were found in Brazil. Diamonds, which are white. Emeralds, which are green. Rubies, which are red. Sapphire, which is blue. So from here, we're going to go to Genesis 15:6-7. And it reads, he believed in Yahweh, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. He said to him, I am Yahweh who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. So I went here because now we're going to start dealing with righteousness. And righteousness, like I said earlier, is something that you have to do. And Abraham had did some things. And one of the things, one of the notes that I have down here is that Abraham, showed promise to the Most High before his name was changed. So his name was Abram when he was chosen. And so we're going to look up the word righteous. I looked the word righteous up, and it's 6666. Tzedak. Definition, righteousness, justice, moderate, righteous act. From tzedak, righteousness, abstract, objectively, justice, morally, virtue, figuratively, prosperity. Justice, moderated, right, righteous, righteous act, righteously, righteousness. So he's shown himself to be righteous to the Most High. And the Father brought him out of Ur. So I looked the word Ur out. Looked the word Ur up, my fault. And it means slain. And it comes from 2:17, if you want to look that up. But when I looked into that, because Ur and being slain, one of the things that came to my mind was when you're dealing with precious metals, how you get all the impurities out of it through fire. So it's like, not saying that Abraham or Abram had gotten all his impurities out, but he had got a number of impurities out of himself, and the father recognized him. Why? Because, and I went that route because of the flame, because he was in Ur, and it says how he brought him out of Ur. So he brought him out of the fire. So the impurities were removed from him. Like one of the things, like I said, when I looked up flame, it took me to like precious metals and how he takes precious metals through flames to get the impurities out. There's also other methods in which, you can pull impurities out of metal. And one of the methods is with acid. You can pull the impurities out that way. And then they have a newer method that they pull impurities out. That's where they take a type of acid and they put it in water and then they hit it with some electricity. And that pulls that's the newest method that they use to pull out impurities out of metals. But then one of the things that came to my mind is like now because of humanity has levels of impurities or character flaws and things of that nature within them, we also go through a flame. We go through ups and downs. We go through a level of purification. And how do we go through that? We go through that through the Word. The Word cleanses us and rids us of the impurities. But we have to choose to want to be pure. And the way we truly become pure is through our belief and understanding of what Yahushua did when he laid his life down. Because it's through him that we become righteous. Because it is he who lives in us that causes us to be righteous. And as we see, righteousness is an action. So from here, I looked up Zadi, which is 6663, and it means to be just or right. It also means cleanse, clear self, be, do justice, return to righteousness. So we're going to go back to our initial scripture where it says, put on your breastplate of righteousness, and in your Greek lexicon, that's 1343. And that means, and that is the ayosune, and that's righteousness, justice. Got a definition saying usually, if not always, in the Jewish atmosphere, justice, righteousness, righteousness of which Elohim is the source or the author, but practically divine righteousness. So I looked at the word right up. And one of the things that came to my mind is, when we're putting on this righteousness, we really have to understand what we're putting on. We have to understand what we're trying to do. And as we know and we learned that the word is truth. So what are we doing? We're applying the word to our life. And we're doing right by the word. And in our efforts of being doing right by the word, we're going to be right to humanity. We're going to be showing the righteousness of the Most High through our actions and our deeds and how we demonstrate these things to those in whom we come in contact with. So I looked the word righteous up in the etymology dictionary that I have been using. And it reads, influence of courtesy, meaning genuine excellence. A way, a manner. So when we're doing righteously, we're doing something in a certain manner. Then I looked the word right up. And that means that which is morally right, duty, obligation, a rule of conduct, what someone deserves, just claims, what is due, correctness, truth. Then we're going to deal with it from a legal perspective, legal entitlement, privilege, meaning the right, straightness, govern, restore, replace. Then I looked up the term next, which is a suffix. And the suffix for, as we say, righteousness, denotes of action, a quality, or a state. So now I'm going to go to Exodus, chapter 23, verse 20 and 22. And it reads, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you by the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your disobedience. For my name is in him. But if you indeed listen to his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemy and an adversary to your adversaries. And so in this particular scripture, I went here because this is just to connect with earlier when we were talking about the prophet. And I went here and we looked up the word angel, and that is 4397 in your Hebrew concordance, and it is Malak, and that's a messenger, an ambassador, a king. And it says it's from an unused root, usually as a deputy, a messenger, specifically of Elohim. Also a prophet, a priest, or a teacher. When we deal with an angel or a messenger, these are different forms in which this information is disseminated from the Most High. Then from there, I went to John 14, 1 and 2. And it reads, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in Yah. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many, you know, many houses. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And I went to this particular scripture to make the connection in regards to a place, because this messenger said he's going to bring you to a place. Now we know that everything that was written before time was written for our learning. So I'm was led to this particular scripture, connecting it with Yahushua. Because when Yahushua was here, that's one of the reasons why he had to leave expediently, because he had to go prepare a place for us, the believers, in this day and time. So from there, I went to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 to 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 17. And it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness and iniquity? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What agreement has Messiah with Belial? Or what portion has a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has a temple, a mighty one, with idols? For you are a temple of the living mighty one. Even as mighty one said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their mighty one, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separated, says Yahweh. Touch no unclean thing, will receive you. So there's our word again, righteousness, as it says, unequally yoked with unbelievers. So we have to be mindful of that and our righteousness, because it's our righteousness of the word that we're putting on that's going to separate us from the iniquity. Because what are we doing? We're keeping the truth. We're keeping the righteousness of the word, the righteousness of the Torah. And those who are doing iniquity are not keeping it. We're supposed to be an example to them. And how are we an example? By keeping it, by upholding it, by standing on it, by protecting it. Because he's protecting us. So from here, I went to John chapter 14, verse 17. And it reads, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it does not see him, neither knows him. You know him, for he lives with you. He lives with you and will be in you." See, Yahushua said that, you know, he had to go. And when he left, he was going to send the Holy Spirit back. And the Holy Spirit leads you to all understanding. And he dwells with us. He lives with us. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24 and 25. And it reads, "Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Yahweh, our Elohim, for our good, always, that he might preserve us alive as at this day. It shall be righteousness to us if we observe to do all his commandments before Yahweh, our Elohim, as he has commanded us." So it's righteous for us to observe the commandments and to do them. And he's going to preserve our life through them. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. "He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does Yahweh require of you, but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your mighty one." And right here, I want to look the word justly up. And it's 49:41. And it's Mishpah. And it means judgment, charge, determination. And it comes from probably a verdict, favorable or unfavorable. Divine law. So when we do things justly, what are we doing? We're doing things what is right. Doing things what is right based on Torah. Because through Torah we live. Through Torah we save. Through Torah we show a good example. And this is something that we're supposed to be putting on, because when we put this on, this assists us in dealing with spiritual warfare. Because we know that the adversary is not trying to be right. So we're putting on this righteousness. What are we going to do? We're going to judge things fairly. We're going to count the cost. We're not going to be quick to judgment. Why? Because as one of the scriptures says, you know, we're supposed to love our enemy. And how do we love our enemy? By applying Torah to his life also and being just in our decision making. Proverbs 21:3. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to Yah than sacrifices. See, because he'd rather you do his word and apply his word properly than the offering up of bulls, offering up frivolous prayers. Because it's your actions that's demonstrating how you are in tune with his word and in tune with him. Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright in him, but the righteous will live by faith. See, I think last week we was talking about faith. See, faith is that hope of something not seen. See, and we have that hope to meet Yahushua in the kingdom. We have that hope to see Yahushua come down and fight beside him against the adversary and his minion. Galatians 3:11. Now, that no man is justified by the law before mighty one is evident, for the righteous will live by faith. From here, I'm going to go to James. Wait a minute. No, we're going to go to wait a minute. Hold up, family. We're going to go to Deuteronomy 27. Verse 26. I apologize. I had this note down next to the scripture. But I didn't write it down. So okay, and then read Deuteronomy 27:26, and it says, cursed is he who does not establish the word of this Torah, and all the people shall say, Amen. And that's a reference in regards to this particular scripture in Galatians. So from here, I went to James 2:14-26. And it reads, what good is it, my brother, if a man said he has faith but has no works? Can faith save him? And if a brother or sister is naked and lack of daily food, and one of you tell them, go in peace, be warm and filled, and yet you do not give them the thing the body needs, what good is it? Even so, faith, if it has no works, works is dead in itself. Yes, a man will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. You believe that Yahweh is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But do you want to know. Vain man, that faith apart from works is dead. Wasn't Abraham, our father, justified by works, in that he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith works with, you see that faith worked with his works, and by his works, faith was perfected. And the scriptures were fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of Yahweh. You see then that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith. In the same way was Rahab, the prostitute, also justified by works, in that she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so, faith apart from works is dead. So I said all this in regards to this breastplate of faith, of righteousness. So we have to do right. But we first have to do right by the Most High and honor his word. Because one of the things that we read earlier, when the Most High was talking to the people, or talking to Moses, the people said, hey, we'll hear you through Moses. We've seen different examples where we as the people, we as believers, we have to pay attention to what the prophets are teaching, what the teachers are teaching. As another scripture say, how can you teach unless you've been sent? You know, we have a scripture where it talks about, hey, when the people are talking, when the men of the men of the Most High are talking, they're going to talk from the word. They're going to bring you to him. They're going to bring you closer to him. But when you're listening to a man and he's telling you to go somewhere else or believe in another deity that you've never known of, scriptures tell you what you're supposed to do with them. But in this day and time, when people are telling you to go contrary to what the Torah speaks, or they're trying to give you information that's not verified through Torah, then you have to put that on the wayside. You got to put that, as they say, in file 13. That's trash. You have to be mindful of those individuals because we have to be equally yoked. And as we put on this righteousness and separate ourselves from the unrighteous, from those who are not keeping Torah, we have to do what we have to do. If we say that we're believers and we're striving to be righteous, we're striving to be like Yahushua. Yahushua had very few friends. Why? Because he stood up for the truth of the word. He was just in his decision making. He was just in how he dealt with the people. And as we read about Yahushua, he was dealing with Israel. So if we pay attention to this day and time as being believers, we have more problems with the people that call themselves Israel than we do with the people that don't, who understand that they're not Israel, or they understand that they think differently about the scriptures. So we have to be put on that righteousness. And when we put it on, we got to be, as the scriptures talk about, counting the cost. We have to count the cost. Or for some of us, you got to reevaluate what you've been doing. Because the information that you've been given you're going to be held accountable for it. Put on that breastplate. Protect yourself. And how we protect ourselves is with the righteousness of that Torah, that foundation that we've been wrapped around our waist. Because if you pay attention to when you wrap something around your waist, if you have a shirt on, you have pants on, what you wrap around your waist holds those two together, holds them in place. And that's what the Torah does. It holds us in place. It gives us the foundation that we need to protect ourselves. Now, what we're doing now, we're protecting ourselves with righteousness from the evil one. As we said, as the scriptures say, put on the whole armor. Protect yourself, people, at all times. As the scriptures say, the adversary don't care who he's using. But mostly he's going to try to use the person most closest to you to rock you off your foundation. But it's through your actions and your demonstration of the word that gets you through. So hopefully the simple thing about righteousness stick out, because we want to be right. We want to be right. We want to be right in the things that we say in regards to his word. And we have to be mindful that he feeds us. He gives us what we need when we need it. We have to protect ourselves, family. We have to protect ourselves, Israel. And we have to be mindful of those different distractions that's out there. Because that's one thing that Israel kept getting caught up in, the distractions, and not appreciating what they had with Yahweh. And that was a point that came to my mind earlier in this lesson, was one of the things that, you know, when we go through the scriptures, he's constantly reminding Israel of what he did for them in Egypt. How he brought them out of slavery. How he brought them to a place so that they can worship him. Then he took them out of that place, and then he sent them into a land of milk and honey. A fertile ground, because before they was in the desert. But many times, Israel, they was paying attention to the nations, not realizing that they had a greater thing in Yah. So hopefully everyone got something from this lesson this evening. Protect yourself at all times, Israel. Protect yourself, family. For the enemy is out there. He's lurking. He's lurking. And he's waiting for you to let your guard down. He's waiting for you to take your breastplate off. He's waiting for you to take your belt off. Because these are the ones we've talked about. Eventually I'll say he's waiting for you to take your whole armor off. But because we've only talked about the two, he's waiting for you to take those things off. He's waiting for you not to be righteous. He's waiting for you to be wicked. So, I'm going to conclude this lesson right now. Merciful Father Yah, we thank thee for dwelling with us on thy Sabbath day, for meeting with us, for setting this day apart so that we can meet with you. We give you praise and we give you honor, O Yah, through thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior, soon coming King. May we have a peaceful slumber. May we stand up for your word in our unconscious mind as well as our conscious mind. Blessed are you, Yahweh, seer of all realms. Blessed are you, Yahweh, resuscitator of the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. Good night, family. Have a peaceful day.
Enemy, 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 somebody by the enemy, the enemy, whatever, don't. I'd even know about holding my word is like a hammer, like a shattering rock. A crack through your heart and take the evil apart. See, my word is like a hammer, like a shattering rock. A crack through your heart and take the evil apart. See the yo.
Strength in the